This is Jordan Seculo. The fight for life continues in federal court, a fight to shut down deadly abortion clinics.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Breaking news coming out of the United States Supreme Court and another big ruling. Just moments ago, the U.S. Supreme Court temporarily blocked Texas from enforcing its strict rules for abortion clinics. You may remember Texas passed limitations on abortions, which forced most clinics in that state to shut down. Texas lawmakers claim the rules were designed to improve safety. But of course, women's rights activists claim it's really designed to make it harder to get an abortion.
What we have now is we've got these groups, these pro-choice groups, abortion doctors out of Texas saying that some of these regulations, in their estimation, go too far. They don't think that abortion doctors should have to have admitting privileges at a hospital within 30 miles of the clinic, or that the clinics themselves should have to be up to the code that you would require of a surgical center.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The High Court's order stays a Texas law that puts strict requirements on abortion providers. It demands that all clinics in the state meet the standards for ambulatory surgical centers by July 1st or close, and that doctors who perform abortions have admitting privileges at nearby hospitals.
Breaking news, a Florida judge is blocking the new state law that requires women to wait 24 hours before getting an abortion.
This ruling just coming in from Chief Circuit Judge Charles Francis out of Tallahassee. The law was set to take effect tomorrow and would require a woman wait 24 hours after the initial visit to get that abortion. The ACLU filed the lawsuit, and the judge ruled the state did not give a good reason why this law would not violate a woman's right to privacy.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. A lot to talk about in the fight for life at the Supreme Court and a case in Florida. At the Supreme Court, to get you up to speed, we talked about it yesterday on the broadcast, but to get you up to speed, this is a case involving very common sense regulations of abortion clinics in Texas, specifically 2 points. The Supreme Court has issued a stay on these two different regulations that would have gone into force, and this case could be heard by the full court. They haven't made a decision on that yet. It was a 5-4 decision to issue the stay. This is what was too extreme for 5 justices of the Supreme Court to let stand in Texas. And by the way, Texas was successful at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, so this was going to go into effect. First is to make abortion clinics meet ambulatory surgical care center standards, so the same standards as those surgical centers, and they're performing invasive medical procedures, so you would think that would not be a real controversial point, but it was too controversial for the Supreme Court. Part two was that the physicians, these abortionists that perform the actual procedures, have to have admitting privileges in a hospital. I mean, you know, an emergency situation, they could get someone who is in an abortion procedure to a hospital, have admitting privileges. That also was too extreme for 5 justices of the Supreme Court. Now, we're going to get you up to speed on what exactly this means when we come back from the break. Now, also out of Florida, in Florida, it was just a basic 24-hour waiting period. Now, you'll see in the news reports that was supposed to go into effect today. It actually is, because there is a temporary injunction that's automatically triggered by the state's appeal. The state of Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi has appealed that. A temporary injunction goes into force immediately on that stay that was put into effect, but the ACLU is appealing that. So that could break at any moment, just a 24-hour waiting period. This is a fight for life, and you're fighting against the abortion industry. This is about profits to them. It's about money. And they said as much in some of their sound bites in response to what happened in Texas. We're going to take your phone calls. You want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. But we need to fight for life. Call now. Add your name to our petition. Stop this abortion industry. These common sense regulations make sense. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
It's It's being called the biggest abortion case at the United States Supreme Court in 25 years. The high court has temporarily blocked a critical pro-life Texas law. Now the lives of thousands of babies and women are at stake. Texas passed a critical pro-life law requiring basic safety standards at abortion clinics and ensured that women injured in abortions could be quickly admitted to hospitals. Abortion zealots did all they could to oppose this law and have now turned to the Supreme Court to stop it. Stand with the ACLJ in defense of the life of the unborn. We're preparing to file a critical amicus brief to vigorously defend life and uphold these pro-life laws. Add your name today. Sign on to our committee to defend pro-life laws and save lives. Call 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Cases, folks, one out of Texas at the U.S. Supreme Court, one out of Florida, one is at the lower court stage, one is at the U.S. Supreme Court. In Florida, it's a basic 24-hour waiting period for anyone before they have an abortion procedure. That was to go into effect today. And technically, though, there was a temporary injunction issued yesterday right before the law was to go into effect. There was an appeal by the state. And when there's an appeal by the state, there is a stay on the temporary injunction. Now, that could be also temporary because the ACLU, who's representing the abortion industry in Florida, has appealed that. So at any moment, it could be that 24-hour waiting period does not really go into full force. But it's very basic. That's it. 24 hours, you wait, and you then would come back. So again, pretty common sense regulation. Out of Texas, what made its way to the U.S. Supreme Court were two provisions of a Texas law that survived the legal challenges up through the circuit courts, through the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. The Supreme Court issued a stay on these laws also going into effect, and it was two regulations in particular. One about the standards of the facilities, the abortion facilities. They didn't want to have to meet the standards of ambulatory care facilities. And then second, that the physicians, the abortionists, have admitting privileges at a nearby hospital. And those survived the scrutiny all the way through the circuit court, got to the Supreme Court. It was a 5-4 decision on procedurally this law going into effect. It's not on the merits. If the court decides to take the case, that will stay in effect. If the Supreme Court decides not to hear the case, that will eventually fall by the wayside and the Fifth Circuit opinion decision will stand. But when you look at this again, you can never predict exactly, but it would look like the Supreme Court would take this. So again, this is about common sense abortion regulations, and we believe, folks, this is kind of the new battle. And many states have done this across the country, really putting making these abortion facilities meet basic standards, and that's too much for them. I think that's very telling about this industry in itself. We want to do something about it. We are going to be filing in these cases, and we want you to join the committee to protect life. You can add your name to these briefs. So if you want to stand for life, this is a great time to do so as we're preparing those. Call our toll-free number now and add your name to our committee to protect life. It's 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. But, you know, it's time. Many of these abortion clinics should be shut down. They are not operating as even basic medical centers in the standards. Take a listen. This is the representative from one of the abortion clinics talking about why they wouldn't just improve. You know, it's too difficult to improve. Bite six.
State leaders say the changes would improve patient safety, but providers argue abortions are already safe.
Why is it so difficult to make those safety changes that the law is calling for?
It's not that it's difficult. It's just not necessary. It's not necessary. And for some vendors and for some companies and some clinics, it is impossible. It is impossible to do.
I want to go to Than Bennett, because Than, when I hear the abortion industry spokesperson, and a keyword, one, it's not that difficult, but it's too much for them legally. You know, they've challenged it. And second, it's not necessary for some. And this is what they call themselves, vendors. They call themselves vendors, companies, and clinics. Notice clinics is the last thing they call themselves. The first is all business terms. We're vendors, like they sell T-shirts or something, or companies. It's all about the profit and the money. And so, Than, I mean, you know, it becomes clear to me, they don't speak often on the record, and you have to go and search for it, and our team does that. But when they do, they kind of tell you exactly what this is about. They are the same as a big business or a big industry challenging regulations at a state or federal level that they don't like. That's exactly what this is they're doing, except for those businesses don't get the same kind of federal tax money that the abortion industry gets.
Yeah, they are a big business, Jordan. They're a big business, and unfortunately, women are dying in their businesses. Listen, let me make this comment about where you were talking about they call themselves clinics. They call themselves clinics, Jordan, but they don't want held to the standards of things that we know of as clinics. So, you know, I try not to even use that word anymore, because clinics are places that have safety standards to protect the people treated in them. These are abortion mills with no regard for the safety of those they are treating. You know, Jordan, clinics are places where people in ambulances go to get treated. These mills are places where women leave in ambulances to seek life-saving care elsewhere. So it's a very ugly and uncomfortable thing to talk about. We talk about it on this show because of just how serious it are. These are not clinics. These are abortion mills, and it's time that they were regulated as such.
Folks, I want to take your phone calls on this. If you want to talk to us on air, here's the toll-free number. You call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. We are taking your phone calls. And I want to break this down for you, too, because I don't want you to get too confused in the legal procedure here of both of these cases. In Florida, very simple. It's a 24-hour waiting period, and this has been appealed by the state. So the state of Florida supports this law. The Attorney General Pam Bondi, her office filed the appeal. With the appeal comes an immediate temporary injunction, and we'll see if the judge lets that stand, which means the law would go into force technically as it should be right now, and there's a 24-hour waiting period. Or will there be another stay of that temporary injunction? But I want to focus in on what's happening at the Supreme Court as well. Joseph Williams, an attorney with the ACLJ, is joining us also. Joseph, let's walk people through where the case out of Texas and this the whole women's health clinic, where that is. I don't like to use that term either, but where that case exactly stands for people.
So after the Fifth Circuit upheld Texas's common sense abortion regulations that were simply looking out for the health of the mother and the unborn babies, it said, look, if something goes wrong in an abortion procedure, you need to be a doctor with admitting privileges to a nearby hospital so that that woman can get the care that she needs. We know from cases such as Kermit Gosnell in Pennsylvania that this is something that really happens, especially when these abortion facilities, these abortion mills, are not properly licensed and inspected, which is true in a lot of these places. And so the Fifth Circuit said Texas is allowed to do this. This is the government's role. These laws can go into effect. And then the Supreme Court, by a 5-4 decision, so only 5 of the 9 Supreme Court justices signed on to this, the other 4 dissented, put in a temporary stay of the Fifth Circuit opinion while the abortion industry appeals this case, to give them an opportunity to appeal the case to the Supreme Court, which the Associated Press is calling would be, if the Supreme Court takes that case up, one of the biggest abortion cases in 25 years.
Understand that, folks. I mean, one of the biggest abortion cases since really the times of Roe versus Wade, and those. This is Planned Parenthood versus Casey. This is really the next fight in the pro-life movement, which is making these abortion facilities meet basic standards and those who are performing these procedures to meet the basic admitting privileges standards. That's too much for the abortion industry, but we're fighting it out. The state of Texas is fighting it out. We're preparing a legal brief. We want you to sign on to that. Join our committee to protect life. This is the time to do it. As Joseph said, I mean, you don't want to miss an opportunity. Potentially the biggest abortion case at the Supreme Court in 25 years. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Add your name to the committee to protect life. We need you to call today. That's 877-989-2255. Eric is calling in from Oregon on line one. Eric, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Jay. Well, may God continue to bless the work that you guys are doing. Big question is, you know, since most of these rulings that are coming down from the Supreme Court, they don't seem to really kind of fall in line with what the majority of the population really believes. And I'm kind of curious what our ability is or what we can actually do to fix that situation. You know, can we get the Supreme Court justices out? What do we do?
Well, the Supreme Court's lifetime appointments. And so what you have to understand is that though the Supreme Court is not supposed to be political, Eric, at the end of the day, who appoints the Supreme Court justice? It's the President of the United States. They're then confirmed by the United States Senate. So, you know, advice and consent. But, you know, up to who makes the appointments, politics has consequences. It's an aging court right now. I'd say that the next President of the United States could appoint three justices potentially. So you just look at the basic facts. Who does that? We have to remember that as Americans and as voters, that this all have consequences. Who you elect, the majorities that are in the United States Senate, the U.S., you know, House and other issues. But when it comes down to these appointments to the United States Supreme Court, it's up to who the president is and who is in the United States Senate, because depending on how that makeup is really how far to the right or how far to the left an appointment may be. So that's the basic truth, is politics has consequences. You have to get involved in elections. We want you to join the committee to protect life. We come back, we're going to take more of your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Join this committee to protect life as we prepare the briefs to file here. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's our toll-free number. You call right now, 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. You can sign online, but I encourage you to call right now. This is a great time to be involved in the fight for life. 877-989-2255. We'll be right back.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's being called the biggest abortion case at the United States Supreme Court in 25 years. The high court has temporarily blocked a critical pro-life Texas law. Now the lives of thousands of babies and women are at stake. Texas passed a critical pro-life law requiring basic safety standards at abortion clinics and ensured that women injured in abortions could be quickly admitted to hospitals. Abortion zealots did all they could to oppose this law, and have now turned to the Supreme Court to stop it. Stand with the ACLJ in defense of the life of the unborn. We're preparing to file a critical amicus brief to vigorously defend life and uphold these pro-life laws. Add your name today. Sign on to our committee to defend pro-life laws and save lives. Call 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. Two major cases involving the fight for life, one in Florida in the state courts, one at the United States Supreme Court. We've explained both. In Florida, it's the 24-hour waiting period. At the Supreme Court, it's the two standards out of Texas, one that the abortion facilities meet, the same standards, the ambulatory surgical care standards as those facilities, and second, that the abortionists themselves have admitting privileges at a nearby hospital in case there is an emergency situation, as we've seen happen in these abortions, as there's been more focus and attention on some of the more horrendous situations. In Florida, it's a 24-hour waiting period. I want to continue to take your phone calls as we prepare a committee to protect life and defend life legally and get involved in these cases. Beverly is calling in from Alabama on line 5. Beverly, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
I just wanted to say thank you for the work that y'all are doing. My husband and I are the proud parents of 5 adopted children, 4 great young men, 1 beautiful little girl whose mother's made the choice for life. It has made a difference in our life. We were unable to have our own children, but by God's perfect plan, give us these 5 great kids. I cannot tell you how much and how touching and heartwarming it is to hear this fight going on. Please know that you have our prayers and support, and please, people choose life. It makes all the difference. We're beyond blessed with these 5 great kids. Thank you so much.
Well, and Beverly, you're living that example, and you know that's so important. And I think that that's what a lot of these fights underscores, that there's the overriding issue. And I'll go to Than Bennett, our director of government affairs, on this. Than, I mean, there's always going to be the fight for life, the fight against Roe versus Wade, this idea and culture of abortion on demand. But there's also the second kind of battles to this, and that is promoting a culture of life. Whether it's making these even, you know, simple things that may sound pretty basic to us, that these centers that perform these invasive procedures have to meet basic standards of ambulatory care, or that the doctor, that the abortionists have to have admitting privileges in a nearby hospital. It's the second level of the fight for life. It's about creating this culture of life and not letting this industry get away with doing whatever they want. And like they say, it's not that it's so difficult for them to make these changes; they just don't want to.
Well, and Jordan, it really has revealed the true heart of the abortion industry on this, because we have known for a long time that they don't care about the life of the child. They don't view it as a life of a child. They aren't going to stand up and defend that life. But what we are seeing in these new fights is that now they seem to be impervious to the care of even the woman, even the mother seeking that the abortion. They don't want to give that woman the information about the procedure that she's about to undergo, even though so many times, Jordan, we see that woman leave that abortion facility in the back of an ambulance seeking life-saving care, and yet the abortion industry doesn't want to consider that. They don't want to be subjected to a requirement that any other ambulatory service would be required to meet, which is that if there is a problem, if there is an emergency, they can admit that woman to a hospital to seek the care of her life. And Jordan, we saw so much of this play out on the floor of the House of Representatives, and it will be played out on the floor of the United States Senate later this fall in that pain capable Unborn Child Protection Act, where the abortion industry is not even willing to engage on the merits of the question at hand, whereas does a baby at 20 weeks of gestation merit the protection of law? They don't want to engage on that, so therefore they move to these other fights on the periphery, like we're talking about in these cases, the safety requirements and the other issues. They don't engage on the merits, Jordan, because they can't win on the merits. The facts are increasingly cutting against them.
Folks, and you know, this comes down to it also when we're talking about the issues. I'll go to Joseph here as well, Joseph Williams from our legal team. But, you know, these are, as they have said, you know, the 20-week abortion ban, the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. It seems basic. You know, science, technology, research is catching up to the abortion industry. So they're doing everything they can right now to secure more victories at the Supreme Court to try and set precedent for another 25 years. And Joseph, that's what we're talking about here when we talk about this case out of Texas. It is such an important case because depending on how the court goes, it could set that precedent for the next 20 years of the Supreme Court and really try and I think protect the abortion industry from the coming changes that people are learning from science and technology.
As science and technology develops, there is no doubt that more people are becoming pro-life. One of the most interesting statistics and demographic shifts is that younger people are disproportionately becoming more and more pro-life because they are open-minded. They are looking at the science. They are looking at the technology. They see the advances in our ultrasound technology, and they ask, how can you possibly say that that is not a life worthy of full dignity and protection under the law? That's what we're looking at here. And as the pro-life community steps up to the plate, volunteers and donates money to crisis pregnancy centers so that women choose life and they choose adoption, and so that women and families like our last caller can adopt and care for these children. As more and more people do that, big abortion is getting more desperate. Big abortion is spreading more dangerous lies and deception to try to muddy the waters and to try to get Supreme Court precedent that is in their favor and ultimately at the end of the day does nothing more than feed their bottom line and help their profit margin.
And what we know is that, you know, they've got allies in the court system. They've got allies in the legal side of the judicial thought in America. And that's why we have to fight that much harder. We have to be that much more aggressive in our defense of life. We want you to join our committee to protect life as we prepare these briefs. You'll be signing on to these briefs in defense of whether it's the common sense regulations out of Texas or Florida, the 24-hour waiting period. We want you to call now and add your name. It's toll-free. It doesn't cost a thing to do so. It's a great way to join the fight for life. You call our toll-free number at 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org and sign this and join this committee online. We're going to take more phone calls. We've got a second half hour coming up. If you want to talk to us on air, the number you call, 1-800-684-3110. Carla's calling in from Oregon on line 3. Carla, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi.
Hi, Carla.
I was calling because when I was young, I was like in my 20s, and I'm 50 now, in my early 20s, and I got raped, and I went into having an abortion, and the clinics up there were really bad then. I'm not sure how they are right now, but they started the abortion, and they stopped it, and then they lied about it, and I ended up in the hospital. And when I came to, my baby was laying between my legs. You know, and it was,
and you know, these, Carla, these are these situations we hear about. They don't like these stories being told. And thank you for calling in and sharing the story, because too often it's either because of shame or because it's just this abortion industry does so much to work against this. These stories don't get out. And again, this happened. This wasn't just recent. This happened long ago, and they're still not meeting those standards. The facilities are just as horrific as they were then. Folks, we've got to defend life. These stories, they should shock you, but this is not, these are not one of the state. These are not unique. This is happening across the country because it's an unregulated industry. Call now, Stand for Life, 877-989-2255. You call now, that's 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org.
In his new book, Undemocratic, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Secchio Live. We're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. What's too much for the abortion industry? How about having to meet basic standards for ambulatory surgical centers? That was too much for them in Texas. And having the abortionist making sure they have admitting privileges in a nearby hospital in cases, as we heard in the last phone call from Carla, these emergency situations occur that they can admit someone in to get the care they would need in a, you know, potentially life-threatening situation at a nearby hospital. That was too much for the abortion industry. And so they've challenged these regulations, and the Supreme Court has put a hold on these going into force. So you're watching carefully, because the court could then decide to take the case up on the merits. And as we've talked about the show, this could be the biggest abortion case really in more than two decades at the United States Supreme Court. We're also watching in Florida a 24-hour waiting period that was to go into force today. Now, technically, it could go into force because there is an appeal by the state. It's the state of Florida defending this. And so when they appeal, there's a stay on the temporary injunction goes into force. The ACLU, again, it's good to remind you who's involved in these cases. The ACLU in Florida has appealed that. So that could change. But these kind of regulations have survived legal challenge in other states. And Joseph, we focused on Florida and Texas because of these cases, but in some states, which may not make as much news, like in Tennessee, there's actually a 48-hour waiting period.
That is correct. Today, a 48-hour waiting period before an abortion can be done has gone into effect here in the state of Tennessee. The abortion measure affects all seven of Tennessee's abortion clinics. There's another law that requires any abortion facility performing more than 50 abortions per year must be held to the same basic common sense health and safety standards as any other outpatient surgical facility. Both of these laws go into effect today because of pro-life advocacy of true pro-life advocates across the state of Tennessee. The ACLJ helped advocate for a state constitutional amendment that was pro-life, that allowed the legislature to then step up to the plate and enact these common sense regulations, including the 48-hour waiting period.
Folks, we want you to join our committee to protect life. You can call now and add your name to this committee and be part of these legal briefs as we prepare that defense. You call toll-free number. It's 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org and sign and join this committee to protect life online. It's about an abortion industry. I want to get back to the phones as quickly as best as we can. And let's go to Sue calling in from Oregon on line six. Sue, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Jordan. Thank you for taking my call. And thank you, your whole organization, for representing us and doing such a great job. I pray for you, and I really appreciate it. I have a comment and a quick question. My comment is, we're in a lot deeper trouble than I had imagined if five of our nine Supreme Court justices cannot think clearly enough to stand behind common sense regulation. And my question is, it has to do with states' rights. What impact will this stay and whatever happens after that have on states' rights, not just for Texas and Florida, but for all of
sure.
the states?
Sure. Well, just to make it very simple for you, and thank you for your phone call. Sue, very simple. If the Supreme Court says these standards are too much in Texas, that's too much everywhere. So it affects every state's regulation. Same goes if the case out of Florida, the 24-hour waiting period, if that was too much, then certainly Tennessee's 48-hour waiting period would be too much. But we're fighting to make sure that's not the case. That's why we have to defend this vigorously. We have to stand with the states that are doing the right thing here, whether it's Texas or Florida or your own state, and fight these out in federal court, because the abortion industry is not letting up. They're not taking anything for granted, and they're not going to let any small regulation go into force without a battle. We've got to be ready to fight. Join the fight now. It's absolutely free to do so. You call our toll-free number, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
It's being called the biggest abortion case at the United States Supreme Court in 25 years. The high court has temporarily blocked a critical pro-life Texas law. Now the lives of thousands of babies and women are at stake. Texas passed a critical pro-life law requiring basic safety standards at abortion clinics and ensured that women injured in abortions could be quickly admitted to hospitals. Abortion zealots did all they could to oppose this law and have now turned to the Supreme Court to stop it. Stand with the ACLJ in defense of the life of the unborn. We're preparing to file a critical amicus brief to vigorously defend life and uphold these pro-life laws. Add your name today. Sign on to our committee to defend pro-life laws and save lives. Call 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. Talking about the defense of life, I will tell you there's some troubling news, too, coming out of Sudan involving the two pastors there that were imprisoned. We've been updating you at ACLJ.org. It looks like there's been more arrests in Sudan. So stay updated at ACLJ.org. I'm just seeing this coming across my email, so that's something to watch for, as we'll continue to update you on that case as well at ACLJ.org, and this persecution that's happening across the globe. Yesterday marked Pastor Saeed Abedini's 11th wedding anniversary with Naghmeh Abedini, of course, still imprisoned in Iran. And this is while the deadline for the Iranian nuclear negotiations was extended yet another week. We'll continue to watch that. There's some language out of the White House, which is concerning, because now President Obama is talking a little bit tougher. And if they walk away from the table completely without getting the Americans home, it puts Pastor Saeed right back in the situation he was in before this these nuclear talks began, which is that there was not direct dialogue between the U.S. and Iran. We're going to continue to take your phone calls. You can stay updated on all those issues. You can't get to it all on one radio broadcast at ACLJ.org. Robert's calling in from line two on, is calling from South Carolina on line two. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yes. How you doing? I appreciate you, you know, taking my phone call. Me and my wife, who faced the situation, we decided to do something about it. Our daughter, best friend, she became pregnant, and everybody tried to convince her that she needs to abort the baby, and we tried to do everything to convince her not to, and finally she decided to keep the baby, which, you know, we praise the God for that. But at the same time, sure, we never dealt with a situation like that, and we decided to take her to our home because her parents decide, then they give her ultimatum, then she needs to leave the house. And we decide that we're not going to just watch that happening. So we kind of new to the situation. And at the same time, as much as we try to help her, we just want to find the right sources to be able to handle the whole situation. And at the same time, we want to guide her as best we can. But don't think if we're 100% qualified to guide this young lady, to make the right choices in the future, you know.
Well, Robert, let me thank you for your phone call. And I think, you know, it shows a lot of courage to say you need help. And this is part of living out the pro-life viewpoint. And it's not just a political view. It's not just a policy view. It's not just a legal view. It's something that we, you know, live out. And whether you're counseling someone who's, in this situation, I don't want to get into all their details about age and whether they're a minor or an adult. And, of course, that would have implications. You can stay on the line and we can follow up with you. And that's one of the things we can do on this broadcast is make sure to get you whatever information we can, Robert. So hang on the line so we can do that. But Than, this is, you know, ultimately what it's about. We can fight every legal battle. We can fight every political battle on Capitol Hill. But people like Robert and his family have got to also take this and put it into practice. Folks, so we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, again, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. I encourage you to go to ACLJ.org as well. Stay updated on all of these battles for life. Lois calling in from Massachusetts on line one. Lois, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. I've been listening to the program now, and you had a soundbite probably about 15 minutes into the program of a lady on in supporting the abortion clinic, some kind of an official about the abortion clinics, and she said, well, we're not this, we're not that, we're clinics, and blah, blah, blah. And it goes off in my head, if you're a clinic, by your own words, then you should have to follow the rules or regulations of whatever state you're in. They have regulations and rules about clinics. Now, I had cataract surgery a few years ago, and I went to a clinic for that. You could call it ambulatory care place, but I was told it was a clinic. And I have no problems with that, but I'm just you saying that this word clinic has certain medical connotations or rules or something.
Well, you know, and Lois, that's what our director of government affairs, Dan, was talking about, why he doesn't even like to use the term, because they don't want, you know, the implications that come with a term like clinic, they don't want to meet. And you're right, that we were listening into one of the spokespeople from the abortion facility in Texas, and so that's who they were talking about. And, you know, it was the third thing they called themselves was a clinic. First, they called themselves a vendor. Think about that, a vendor for abortions, then a company, then a clinic. And that was the soundbite that we played in fight. It's bite number six. Take a listen. This is one of the spokespeople from the abortion facility in Texas talking about the Texas law they're challenging at the U.S. Supreme Court.
State leaders say the changes would improve patient safety, but providers argue abortions are already safe.
Why is it so difficult to make those safety changes that the law is calling for?
It's not that it's difficult. It's just not necessary. It's not necessary. And for some vendors and for some companies and some clinics, it is impossible. It is impossible to do.
You know, again, right there, you hear from the abortion industry's own mouth. One, you know, it's not that difficult to meet. But, you know, for some vendors of abortion, companies of abortion, That's how they refer to themselves. I think that's so telling. We want you to stand for life. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Michael is calling from Virginia on line three. Michael, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Thank you so much, Jordan. Listen, you already know what my question is. It's such a short question, but I want to lead up to why I asked this question so your audience will understand. In 1979, I paid very close attention to Jerry Falwell's 50-state Listen America campaign, where he went to the capitals of all 50 states, and one of the chief the two chief things was school prayer and abortion, and that was to get evangelicals involved in the election process. And it was a very, very successful campaign. But 10 years later, he disbanded the moral majority, saying that the job is done. The abortion fight is won. We've got our people in. We're putting our people on the Supreme Court. It's going to be taken care of. He used the excess money. He gave it to the athletic fund at Liberty University. So, as I said, my question is...
Yeah, I would say this. Michael, I'm not getting into specifics of things that happened 20-something odd years ago. The truth is, evangelicals are more involved in politics than ever before, and that was the case because of organizations like Dr. Falwell's and Dr. Robertson's. Evangelicals got involved. Now, things have changed. I think that the dynamics of that in the evangelical community have changed as well. Some of it is expecting too much out of politics, too much out of courts. Courts are places of last resort. But also, it's because of being more involved, you expect more, right? But we have to continue that level of involvement. It's never over. There's certainly shifting and different phases. But, folks, the truth is, you've got to be able to fight every battle. That's why we exist as an organization, and that's why there's political organizations as well, and we work on Capitol Hill, and we work on policy, work on issues, we work in the courts, and we do it for you. We do it because of donations. We don't charge anyone, and it's important, folks, to fight all these battles to keep you updated on them as well. I can report another victory I just saw out of on my email as well. You may remember that situation involving the Radical Military Religious Freedom Foundation. They were complaining and asking for specifically a court-martial kind of situation involving an Air Force captain. And in this situation, in a major general of the Air Force has not moved. They were not going to move on this demand from the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. We put together a thorough response to the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. This is great news. It involves Major General Craig Olson, who spoke at a National Day of Prayer event in D.C. that they were complaining about. So, again, you can get victories, folks, but you must fight every battle. You have to take every fight seriously, as absurd as they can sound sometimes, and you got to get involved. And to do that, you call our toll-free number now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org and join the fight online. That's aclj.org. We'll keep you updated on those pastors in Sudan, this victory involving the Air Force and the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, all at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
When it was first released last fall, Rise of ISIS skyrocketed to the top, becoming a number one New York Times bestseller. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team revealed the brutality of ISIS, the Islamic State, putting a much-needed spotlight on this real and present danger. Now this best-selling book, Rise of ISIS, has been revised and updated with critical new insight and new analysis. Find out how ISIS continues to expand, to dominate, to unleash unspeakable violence against Christians and others, and find out what needs to be done to stop them. A revised and updated edition of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, is available now at bookstores nationwide, or you can order a copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Rise of Isis, available now. It's being called the biggest abortion case at the United States Supreme Court in 25 years. The High Court has temporarily blocked a critical pro-life Texas law. Now the lives of thousands of babies and women are at stake. Texas passed a critical pro-life law requiring basic safety standards at abortion clinics and ensured that women injured in abortions could be quickly admitted to hospitals. Abortion zealots did all they could to oppose this law and have now turned to the Supreme Court to stop it. Stand with the ACLJ in defense of the life of the unborn. We're preparing to file a critical amicus brief to vigorously defend life and uphold these pro-life laws. Add your name today. Sign on to our committee to defend pro-life laws and save lives. Call 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Broadcast, everyone. I want to take you back a little bit here with some special broadcast so you get the kind of the understanding of the hearings we've had, the history of this, to reset it, the situation for Saeed Abedini, because we are a couple weeks away from the ending of these talks, supposedly, and we're approaching 1,000 days of incarceration effective June 23rd, so in just a few days, a week or so. We want to get to a million signatures. We need your help on this, folks. It's easy to do. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Let's stand for Saeed. This is the week. It counts, folks. It's always counted, but it really counts right now. We're going to get to 1 million signatures. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255.
Whatever anybody thinks of the United Nations, the fact of the matter, it's an international tribunal that exists, that has influence, and you have to understand how to negotiate it. So we fought years ago to become a non-governmental organization with the United Nations through our office in Europe, our European Center for Law and Justice.
State Attorney General Robert Abrams, Governor Bill Clinton, and the Democratic Party should be ashamed that this courtroom contained, among others, four named defendants who are ministers of the gospel.
New York City, one of the heartbeats of free speech. We're going to see if free speech still stays free in New York City.
That was in about a three-block radius of the federal courthouse in Manhattan. I will never forget it.
And we have to pray that the Democratic Party does not prevail in November, or this nation will be in for the greatest nightmare it has ever experienced.
I'll tell you what it is. It was, we punched a hole in hell, and the demons came out. First hearing takes place, and all of a sudden we walk out of the courtroom and the corridors are up, the police are doing barricades, and there are tens of thousands of people, probably 15,000 people there. People were untying our shoelaces and while we were trying to get out. I mean, it was incredibly intense. A lot of the women were completely naked, or at least naked from the top up. And then, of course, the statements they were making, mostly aimed not so much at the lawyers, but at the activists, were very aggressive.
He supports abortion on demand for 9 months. It means what it says, that it's free speech, not free speech, and not free speech.
We talk to God and she's pro-choice. Separation of church and state, that's what makes this country great. And now he's going to jail. He's psycho.
Would you like to drink some?
Sergeant Slaughter loves shame.
How's the formaldehyde?
Would to God that the Church of God had half the zeal for righteousness that some of our enemies have for unrighteousness.
And then they attack the individual church. They didn't just go after the leaders. They decided to go after the churches and close down the churches. That was their big chant. They were going to close down the churches.
You block our clinics, I'll block our churches. You block our clinics, I'll block our churches. Get your hoodies, rub our hoodies. Get your hoodies, rub our hoodies.
And the American people said, wait a minute. You got people putting their life on the line to defend the unborn, and then you've got even people that were pro-choice were saying there's something not right about the nature of these protests.
To what? They box themselves into a very angular corner of hatred. And you feel very, they even look at They're angry, mean people. Now, these are probably sweet young girls in other contexts.
Get them out!
Operation Rescue!
I was talking to a gentleman going back home tonight. I said, they're blocking our church. And he said, that's because we're blocking their church, meaning the abortion clinic.
Operation Rescue This! Operation Rescue! Operation Rescue This! We are gonna get you!
I want to make sure some of the elderly people got out the side door. We always have a side door here and there. And we got them out. I was concerned because they get quite upset, and then you might have a physical confrontation.
Stop those atheists!
F*** you! Get the f*** out of New York! Get the f*** out of here! Get off my bottom! Get your mind off my bottom! It is my choice! Get the f***
They were going and blocking access for the worshipers to go into the churches to pray.
So it seems in America, if you block an abortion clinic to save lives, the federal court says you're subject to $25,000 fine. If you sit in front of a church to prevent worshipers from coming in and expressing their constitutional right for free religious expression, nothing.
I'm a tough New Yorker. I mean, that's why I didn't get too upset.
It's the abortion distortion factor. It's as if the rules change when it's abortion. So if you're pro-life, if you hold a sign or engage in a prayer vigil, you could get arrested. But if you're pro-choice, you could parade in New York City naked in broad daylight, shouting obscenities, blocking access to churches, and nobody's, not only can they prosecute you, they'll kind of protect you. That's the irony.
They can burn a flag. They can take their tops off in New York. But we can't show the gruesome reality of abortion. What is it, only politically correct speech gets to happen?
The governor, who would then end up being the president of the United States, was going to have to appear in court if they intended to prosecute this.
And what this court has to concentrate is what the issue is in this particular proceeding, and that is the showing of the unborn child to Governor Clinton. And now that those proceedings are criminal, Governor Clinton is going to have to attend these proceedings. He is a material witness, and he's being subpoenaed, and he will have to be here.
The cases ended up pretty much going away, is the fact of the matter, because they knew ultimately the president would have to. He was a witness, and I'm entitled to get a material witness. And that's part of the strategy that we utilized. We utilized the law.
Would to God we had 100 lawyers like Jay Sekulow. Would to God we had 10,000 activists, rescuers, like those who are named in this lawsuit.
Ultimately, they tried to get them on a charge of carrying an unborn child.
But nobody wanted to call this child human remains. So that was switched somewhere to disorderly conduct.
We utilized the criminal procedure to protect our client. And the other side, the pro-choice group, was not used to Christian lawyers doing that. And we did that, and we did it aggressively.
Randall Terry and his terrorists have never, ever broken through our lines. We have held every day, and I would like to say thank you to New York City, because we're the place that really, we finally did them in. We not that Buffalo held the lines too, but we held our lines, and it was here that he met his demise, as you can see.
Folks, again, that was from our documentary called Choosing Life. I encourage you to find the entire thing online at acljfilms.com. I think you're going to really benefit from taking a look at that entire thing. But as we close the broadcast today, I need you to take a stand for life. These are cases that really do save lives. We know that about 10,000 lives would be saved in 1 year in the state of Texas as a result of the substandard abortion clinics or abortion mills that would close as a result of the law that is in question here. I want you to call now. Add your name to our brief that we will be filing at the various courts, including the Supreme Court of the United States, in defense of this law in Texas, in defense of the law in Mississippi, and other laws across the nation that are similar in nature. Call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org. And don't forget, folks, we're in our July matching challenge. Any gift that you can give to the work of the ACLJ will be doubled. It's tax deductible, and your impact can be doubled. $50 becomes $100. $100 becomes $200. It doubles the impact of the work that we can do as a result of your contribution. Donate online today at aclj.org.
In his new book, Undemocratic, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.